From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we bring you deeper dives into top news stories. This week, we're coming to you from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois. There, two veteran political reporters, Doug Sovereign from KCBS Radio in San Francisco and Craig Dallimore from WBBM News Radio in Chicago, are covering the event. We're lucky enough to have both of them join us for daily updates this week as we head into the real start of what's already been a history-making election season. Here's their Day 3 talk.
Hi, it's KCBS political reporter Doug Sovereign again at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, joined by my colleague from WBBM News Radio here in Chicago, Craig Dallimore. We're covering this convention for our respective stations and for Odyssey, and in my case, also for the CBS Radio Network, which is why we only get a few hours of sleep each night, Craig. But here we are on day three, Wednesday of the convention, after a pretty scintillating second night. Craig, I don't know about you, but I thought Michelle Obama brought down the House. I thought Barack Obama was Obama of old. The roll call, we can get into more detail on all this, was the most entertaining one ever. But certainly that was a very strong night. Hard to imagine they're going to top that.
Yeah, and I know from covering other conventions in the years past, the Republican Party very often puts on a very well-coordinated show, and they do a good job, minute to minute, everything. This was the Democrats strutting their stuff. And for a convention where they had to retool over the last couple of weeks for the new regime, this was an amazing evening. For those of us who know Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, you know, from their time here, we know the secret that when Michelle Obama decides to step up, she is, if anything, at least as good an orator as he is. And there are some who would argue she's better. And she was better last night. She was as good as we've ever heard her. She is relaxed. She is, personable, approachable. And it was a great speech. He wasn't joking when he said, you know, he's the only one crazy enough to follow her. But he did a pretty darn good job, too. That was a good tag team for the delegates and for the country, for anyone who was watching.
Yeah, so you've covered the Obamas as a Chicago reporter for decades, the way I've covered Kamala Harris as a San Francisco reporter for decades. And we know that about her, but still, it's always surprising because she's not a politician. I mean, she was the first lady for a year, so I guess she's a politician. But she comes at it not from a political way. She comes off as a human being, natural, relaxed, as you say, so comfortable in her skin. And I don't know who writes her speeches. Maybe you can tell me, Craig, or if she has a lot of input in writing them herself, but she always has the best lines. She's got the best takeaway lines, the best laugh lines. She was really extraordinary, I thought. I mean, that was one of the best convention speeches I've ever seen. And yes, Barack Obama was fantastic. He was terrific. But like you said, he said, no, he's the only one stupid enough to follow her. I wonder if they set the bar too high when tonight you've got Bill Clinton, no slouch when it comes to public speaking, and Tim Walz, who really has to introduce himself to the American people. Are they going to be compared to that? Maybe Kamala Harris is lucky they had the Obamas two nights before her, not the night directly before her.
I think that what you're going to see is every person who's coming before us has a different style. What they needed last night was really a call to arms. And, you know, let's face it, the way that tag team went was it was Michelle Obama who did took the shots at Donald Trump. And it was Barack Obama who was the one bringing everybody together and saying, okay, let's go at this. And, you know, we're not enemies. We all need to work together. So I think they did exactly what they needed to do. And now you're going to build up the team itself. And I think we'll hear great speeches from Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi. I think will probably be, get some of the love that is there for her. And Tim, the governor just simply needs to be himself and make sure, I think, that he is genuinely that folksy guy and not the kind of faux folksy guys that we keep seeing in politics where they go out and buy the Carhartt jacket or vest and put on the hat.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point you make, because I was thinking the same thing, that they really are going after Donald Trump this time, in that in the past, sometimes it's been, no, we're just going to ignore him. He's beneath us. And that hurt them in 2016. And this time they're going after him. And it was gloves off. We're going to call it like it is and tell you who he is and make some you know, pretty low jokes in a couple of spots about him. But like, that was the job of the first couple of nights. And now I would guess Tim Walz, since this is his big introduction to the American people, and we think he's this Midwest nice America's dad kind of guy, that's the persona. And we think it's authentic. We'll see how it comes off. But for him to lay into Trump maybe is not the smart move, because you don't want to leave your first impression as a negative one. You want to we've taken down Donald Trump and shown you what you don't want and how bitter and mean-spirited and hateful he is. Now we're going to give you the joy. Now we're going to give you the uplifting happiness. We want you to leave with a smile on your face and a spring in your step. So here's Tim Walz tonight. And then the same for Kamala Harris tomorrow night. Maybe she doesn't even mention Donald Trump. Let all these other people take after him and then introduce herself and give this uplifting, positive message. That's how I would script it. We'll see if that's the playbook they stick to. But it's pretty clear. I mean, that roll call last night, certainly the most entertaining one I've ever witnessed, and I think this is my 11th convention, to turn it into a dance party with all those songs, and just, it was so joyful. Clearly, their whole thing here is she's the joyful warrior. We're bringing happiness, and contrast that with what you get from Donald Trump, which is a lot of nasty, acerbic, you know, darkness.
Yeah, I agree that roll call was genius. And to have each delegation have kind of a walk-up song was wonderful, and that's why you have a DJ. The other thing, you know, since we were talking yesterday about technology, you also had technology to make it also made for TV. You noticed all those, for people wondering what was going on with those flickering lights, just before it started, they told the delegates to take out the bracelets that were at their seats and put them on, and they started blinking. Well, these were remote control bracelets that the technicians could turn on and off, change the colors, coordinated lighting with PixMob bracelets. So they actually had the technology working so that they could flash them when they wanted, turn them off when they didn't, and the lights went up and down, and it was magnificent.
Yeah, that's something I had seen at the NBA Finals between the Warriors and Celtics. I took my son couple years back, and they gave us these little bracelets, and my son thought, oh, I'm getting a watch. I'm getting a Warriors watch. It isn't that. It's a remote receiver, and there are little receivers and transmitters all over the place, and they could control. So they flash blue and yellow at the right time, et cetera. Same thing. It's a nice souvenir for people to take home. I hope they're not disappointed when they take it home to discover it doesn't work. It's not a watch. It doesn't do anything for you at home other than be a little piece of plastic that says DNC 2024 on it or whatever it said. But that was pretty cool. And I assume they're going to continue to use that. Maybe they're not. Maybe that was just going to go with the DJ. But they might continue to use that the next couple nights. We'll see when we get there tonight if those are still in place. I do think, yeah, that was a very well run. You mentioned that the Republicans tend to run a pretty tight ship. They do tend to run a smoother operation. The Democrats can be messy, just like democracy. As Will Rogers famously said, I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. But I do think the second night, though, ran a lot better than the first. They learned on the fly. They didn't run as late. It was a tighter ship. Things were better coordinated. The logistics seemed better. So they seem to be improving as they go. Hopefully they're learning lessons as they go. And by the time this thing wraps up tomorrow night, they'll have it down.
And I think the one thing that we didn't get Monday that we did get last night was dance breaks. Nobody danced the first night, and this time the band got to stretch its wings a little bit, and people were dancing, and you could watch them dancing. So I had kind of missed that the first night.
Yeah, I like this house band led by the bass player Ricky Minor. They leaned an extended jam on "Tell Me Something Good" by Rufus. The Republican convention, we were getting basically the 70s classic rock playlist. Although that band was really good, Six Wire.
They were.
At the RNC. That was a crack band. They were very good. Nashville pro musicians. But yeah, there's just a general entertaining, dance, happy, joyful vibe at this convention so far. And now the pressure's on for these remaining speakers to keep the energy up, keep the delegates engaged, and bring this to a climax that sends these delegates home ready to do the work they're going to need to do in the next 11 weeks.
Yeah, indeed. And I know we're going to hear that message, because every other speech gives us the get out there and work message. And we're going to keep hearing that. But every once in a while, somebody pokes their head up and says, but don't forget, this is better than, you know, the last couple of conventions. We are really ready to go here, and look at the spirit. So it's a tough balancing act. And I guess they're going to be walking that all the way through through Friday to make sure that we don't get too happy, but we don't get too engrossed in the nitty gritty either.
Yeah, and they have to guard against complacency. I mean, they're going to see the polls, so probably get a little bit of a bounce. They have to guard against overconfidence. They all saw what happened in 2016 when Hillary Clinton was supposed to win and didn't. In 2020, when Biden was up 8-9 points in the polls, and it ended up being a lot closer than that. I think people have learned those lessons. I think they've got a good ground game in place. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
The other thing is that we are covering conventions and covering the race better than we did in 2016, because back then we covered Donald Trump as kind of a story. Now we really are covering the campaigns as a choice that people have to make.
Yeah, he was a novelty. He was a media draw, but people have seen him as president for 4 years, and they've seen him now in action for 8. They know what they're getting, and it is a different story, and we'll see how this one plays out. Craig Delamore from WBBM, thank you for being with us yet again.
My pleasure.
We'll continue to do this. I'm Doug Sovereign, political reporter from KCBS Radio for Odyssey On Deadline podcast. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow for day 4. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks again to Craig Delamore of WBBM News Radio in Chicago and Doug Sovereign of KCBS Radio in San Francisco for this on-the-scene convention coverage. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to thank you for listening to this special edition of the On Deadline podcast coming to you from the 2024 Democratic National Convention. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.